So today is June 3rd, the 25th is of Sivan, 2013, 5773. So when we come together in these types of situations, where we're coming together for a spiritual reason, it's like having a date with God. When you have a date with somebody, there's always that possibility and the potential for fear that you're going to get stood up, right? A date with a person is conditional. You can get stood up, or it can be a bad date, right? So we tend to have expectations, right? The ego mind creates expectations about what a date with God means. Maybe we have certain longings, or we have certain questions that we want answered. Something that needs to be fulfilled that drives us to come, drives us together like that. But the truth is that you can never be stood up by God. Your expectation can be not fulfilled, right? But you can't be stood up by the real God. The God that people talk about, whether they believe in or not believe in, that God maybe you can get stood up by, but that's an illusion anyway. So as those of you know who come a lot, when I say the word God, I'm not talking about something that there's a question about. I'm not talking about something that we can believe in or not believe in. I'm talking about the God that is what is. That is existence, that is reality. Reality equals God. So we always have the potential to meet reality, you know. Reality is meeting us in this moment. And reality is never not meeting us. But because we have this ego mind, which is designed to project outside of this moment, to imagine something different, you know, to create a virtual reality world inside our heads of something that we can prefer to what's actually being given, to what's actually happening, right? Then we are constantly tempted by this dualistic experience of not fully meeting and not fully showing up for the actual reality, which means this actual moment, because we're preferring something else that we're projecting in our minds. There's different ways that this can manifest. Last week we talked about it in relation to the parsha of last week. These two parshas, last week and this week, have to do with rebellion and are a wonderful metaphor for what the ego mind does. Rebelling against what is actually true. Making a war, making a fight with what's actually true. Right? And when I say what's actually true, I don't mean an idea of what's true. I don't mean someone's opinion of what's true. I mean the place that we actually find ourselves. That's the truth. That's the truth as we meet it. So last week we talked about it in relation to the compulsive need to avoid our own responsibility. The task that comes to us in the moment. And just as our mind is dualistic, meaning that it creates an alternative to what really is. It creates an alternative reality to prefer. So the way that we do it is also dualistic, meaning that we can want to do what's not appropriate, or we can not want to do what is appropriate. And the story that we looked at last week showed both of those examples, right? It was time to go and do the mission. The Israelites were ready to go into the land, and they said, no, we're afraid, we can't do it. And then in the next moment, God says, okay, well then forget it. You're not going to do it. You can't do it. And they say, no, wait. We want to do it. But it's too late. And they try to do it, but of course it fails, you know. And so this is a wonderful description of a pattern that we can be aware of in our own minds, of the tendency to be out of sync with reality. It's not that something is right or wrong. It's that it's right or wrong in the particular moment that we find ourselves. What's right in this moment is wrong in the next moment. One moment, it's right to speak up, to say something with conviction, to put your inner reality on the outside. And the next moment, it's really appropriate to hang back, to be quiet. It's not that one is right and one's wrong, but are we sensitive to the situation that we find ourselves, the totality, right? So in the story, they weren't, right? Except for two of them. So that's one way in which this kind of shows up, is resistance to what we're being called to do in the moment. We might call it the mitzvah of the moment. Right? As we know, the mitzvot are positive or negative. It's either thou shalt or thou shalt not. And the mitzvot as they exist in religion, as things that we learn with our mind, are wonderful practices for disciplining ourselves in that way. But the real mitzvah is the one that's coming to us in this moment, in the moment in which we find ourselves. So in this week's Parsha, which is Parshat Korach, it shows up in a different way. It shows up in the way of, I don't deserve this moment that I'm in. I deserve better. And so therefore, I'm going to impose myself and make war with the reality that I find myself in. Korach comes and says, Moses, who do you think we are? Who do you think you are? You know, to be the Lord over all of us. Aren't we all holy? We're all holy. Right? It's a good argument. The lesson here is not to say that we have to just passively accept what's given to us and not do anything with it, right? Moses himself is constantly, right? He's constantly working with what he's given. He's always in dialogue with God, which is symbolically saying that everything is dynamic. Just because we're given a certain lot doesn't mean we can't change it, that we can't interact with it, that we can't improve it. But the rebellion of Korach is saying something different. The rebellion of Korach is saying he's not just wanting to change it, wanting to interact with it, wanting to improve it. He's saying it's wrong that it's like this, and I'm going to make war with it. That's the aspect of denial of what is. That's the aspect of ego. First of all, whenever we act, if our act is to be coming from right intention, then it has to be in dialogue with what is. You know, it has to first of all relax and accept what's going on and then be in dialogue, as opposed to setting ourselves up as separate from reality and judging it, setting ourselves up as judges. And of course, you know, Moses' role is not all so great. Moses doesn't love his position so much. But that's what we do. We tend to say, you know what? This isn't good enough, what I have. I wish it was something else. The grass is always greener. But we have to look. We have to look carefully and see that that's actually what the ego mind is doing, and that there's no point at which we achieve some stability, that we will always say, okay, now I'm good, and that the ego is never tempted to do that trick again. There was this TV show that I was watching. I won't tell you which one it is because I don't want to spoil the story if you haven't seen it. So it'll be very vague. There's a criminal, and his criminal activity is making so much money. And his wife is very angry about it, but she's succumbed to it. She's on board, and she's laundering the money the best she can. But she's being destroyed inside. It's totally destroying her, you know. And so in this one amazing, powerful scene, she says, drive with me. And she takes him to this storage facility. She takes him, you know, she opens up the garage door thing. And there's just something with a big, big sheet over it. She takes off the sheet and it's all money, like up to the ceiling. And he says, what is this? She says, this is the money that you've been making. I've stopped laundering it. I've stopped counting it. This is it. And she just looks at him and says, when is it going to be enough? You tell me when it's going to be enough. And I thought that was such a powerful, such a powerful scene. Because here's a guy, he's a criminal, right? So he's like sort of the epitome of, you know, the rebel. He's hurting people. He's killing people. For what? For power, to be successful, for money, for greed. But that situation perfectly embodies the psychology of the ego. It's not quite enough. Now, we might pretend that it's enough. Sometimes the ego pretends it's enough. In other words, it just gets resigned. Right, it's just resignation. Oh, I'm never going to amount to. I'm never going to. So then, that's sort of the opposite. But that's still the ego. Like, it's not really enough. You just don't believe in yourself enough to go for more. Right? You haven't like woken up to the criminal within you. You haven't woken up the bastard side of the ego enough to go for it. But to get beyond the ego means to wake up to the whole game of the ego. To realize that it's there to make a war, to make a rebellion. And what's the remedy? Moses says, okay, Korach, come with your incense offering tomorrow morning with all your folks. We'll come with our incense offering. We'll see who God chooses. Morning comes, they all come with their incense pans. God opens up the earth, and they all fall down. They all get swallowed up. So in a sense, that's the solution. Meaning that the ego personality has to accept the consequences of what it has created. And it has to accept reality as it is. It has to be allowed to get swallowed up. You have to let it die. Again and again and again. How do you do that? Just by seeing what it's doing. Just by seeing that it's doing that thing that it does. that making war with reality, making war with God. Seeing that it's doing that and not empowering it and just making an act of determination, an act of will to surrender. You know, and that's the paradox. It's an act of will to surrender. Normally, an act of will is the opposite of surrender. But we make an act of will to surrender means we're just, you feel the impulse, you feel it raging within you. You feel that impulse to judge, to rebel, to make duality, to make a war, to just want a little bit more. Or to judge yourself. You know, that's the opposite one, right? To make self-judgments, to call yourself this and that, to make stories, right? And instead just to relentlessly decide to surrender and decide to say, this is it. Allow God to either accept the offering or open up the earth. It's God's decision. It has nothing to do with us. It's going to happen anyway. So what? So what do we bother fighting about? And then in that surrender, there's the possibility for something else to blossom. Because that Korach, that ego self, is not really who you are anyway. That's just a component of the mind. That's just a psychological process that we can be trapped in our whole life. But when we allow it to relax, we allow it to surrender, then there's something else underneath there that can just blossom. And it just blossoms for its own sake, not because it's going to get something out of it at some point, not because it's going to make a lot of money. I might, but not because of that. Not because it's going to have some end result, but just because it's the beauty of your own being, the inherent beauty of who you are and what is. And the preciousness of that can't be described. It's not a preciousness you have to convince yourself of or remind yourself of. But it just blossoms when that surrender can get everything out of the way. You don't get it out of the way by trying to make war with it, saying it should get out of the way. But by surrendering to what is, whether it's suffering or whether it's triumph, you know, whatever is happening. In that surrender, the ego can relax. And by accepting reality, we also get real. We become real. That's it for tonight.